One, two, three, tiddly bee, 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 tiddly bee, bee, bee. A long time ago, way back in history, when all there was to drink was nothing but cups of tea, along came a man by the name of Charlie Mops. He invented a wonderful drink.
All right, thank you for tuning into this Brew Happy Radio Show. I'm your host, Damien Abizer, as the voice of beer. And with us, as always, is Ryan and JP. How you guys doing?
Pretty good. Hey, wait, is Ryan around?
Ryan's around.
Hello?
Can I hear Ryan?
Hey.
I don't think Ryan can hear us.
Ryan's zooming
can
in.
Can you hear me?
Ryan, you can hear us, right?
Can he?
I think so.
No. He's not responding, is he?
He is good. Frozen.
He's frozen. Or is he? He's a frozen man. Okay, I'm here.
Or he just makes that frozen. Stern look all the time.
There he goes. And he's got gas, I think.
Yeah, probably. Usually. All right.
Or a baby has gas. You know, one of them.
We are here at Lycum Brewing, and we have a wonderful show for you guys today. We are here to talk about mashing barriers. Ah, there he is.
He's moving again.
Ryan?
Hi.
Aha.
Can you hear us?
He's just making faces.
He is.
I'm here.
Okay, he's there.
Oh, there we go.
All right, we have confirmation on that.
Something about the quality of the audio is not going well.
Yeah, I don't know. It's we might have to work on that over the break.
It's way better when you're in person.
It is way better than when you're in person. We were hoping for that.
I know.
We are here at Lycum Brewing, and we have an excellent show for you guys today. We have three fantastic guests, and they're all returning guests, which is really, really cool. So we're going to be talking about Mashing Barriers, which is a fantastic program that these fine ladies are going to be telling you about. Since we have three of you, why don't you all go ahead and introduce yourselves, starting with Maddie.
I'm Madeline McCarthy, and I am a brewer at Von Ebert Brewing.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Casey Helwig, and I manage sales at Imperial Yeast.
Yes, we actually hear your bumper all the time on the show. Still.
And I'm Sonia Marie Lycum. I'm owner here at Lycum Brewing.
Right on.
Welcome.
Yeah, we talk about all of you guys on the show. So for you frequent listeners, some of these names may be familiar to you, but for you newer listeners that have just been tuning in, including you Patreon members from across the way, I hope you enjoy this show. We have some really cool stuff to talk about. So I think we should go ahead and talk about the beers we have on the table. John, I think you
yes.
have...
I have an amber.
You have the amber.
It's the Amber Linden mm-hmm. for you. There we go.
No, I got it for you, though.
Yeah, oh, there we go. How about that?
Is it called for you?
Yes. Oh,
okay. and then I think I have the English. Andrew poured me the English. He said this would be the best. The English Golden?
It's... You otter, no.
You otter, the otter, yes.
Oh, there we go.
Okay. Sonia, what can you tell me about this beer?
So that beer is benefiting a wonderful organization, which is having an Otter Beer Fest on March 12th. Their goal is to bring the sea otter back to Oregon. And
wait, where did it go?
So climate change and warm waters have caused the sea otter to move down south.
Yeah.
We think of the sea otter as being, you know, in Monterey Bay Aquarium or, you know, sort of those kind of region. But actually bringing back kelp forests and bringing back the sea otter will help us regulate climate change. So a number of breweries were invited to participate. And so this is our contribution to that event that's happening March 12th at OMSI.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, that is very nice. Right on. Yeah, he did mention that there was something very special about this beer to talk about.
What kind of beer is it again? Is that a Belgian Golden?
No, this is the English Golden.
English Golden.
Yeah.
There we go.
All right. And then what can you tell us about the amber that John has?
So this is a beer that we started playing around with. It's our I'm Burning For You. Beer, and it's got lots of caramel tones to it. It's a lovely sort of malty, complex amber.
Okay.
So.
Nice.
Yeah, it's very good.
Yeah.
I love ambers.
Right on. I know you do.
There we go.
And then what are you ladies drinking down there?
I'm having the same thing you are.
Oh,
you
right on. Yeah. So you like it?
Yeah.
Yeah, right on. Of course.
I'm dry for the next several months, so I've got a kombucha here. It's lovely. It's orange and ginger, blood orange and ginger, and it's delicious.
Are you extending your dry January?
Yeah, till August.
Oh, okay.
Till August. Hey. Holy shit.
Nothing wrong with that, you know. Some
she's going to miss the OBF.
I know, it's sad.
Well, yeah, some but, years but you got to miss the OBF.
People tend to like frown upon pregnant ladies drinking beer. So.
That's true.
Oh, my God, you're congratulations. Right.
Yeah, there you go. We didn't know. Yeah. We're wondering. We just thought you were trying to be healthy or something.
Wow, yeah. That's what I thought.
This for my health.
Yeah, I thought you were doing endurance.
It is for health, though.
Yeah.
I mean, we named our kid Porter because that's all I craved during our pregnancy.
Oh, there he is.
Daniel Porter.
Okay, well, let's do a prost to Casey Hellwig. Wow.
Yes.
Yeah, mazel tov. Cheers.
I mean, you could still have the occasional red wine if you wanted, but no one's going to fault you for not drinking. It's okay.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, I have plenty of sips here and there.
Yeah.
But no full pours. I get it.
Right on. And Sonia, no beers for you?
You know, I left mine at the bar.
Uh-oh.
I was just going to text our amazing bartender.
Party foul.
To see if he could bring one over here.
That's okay. Right on. Well, we'll make sure you get a beer after the break. I want to thank all of you listeners for tuning in to this wonderful show. If you would like to help support the show, check us out on Patreon. I want to give a shout out to our Patreon subscribers. Thank you so much for donating to the show. I talked about our most recent one last week. David, over there in Vancouver, thank you so much again for signing up for Patreon and all of our other wonderful Patreon subscribers. If you want to hear our show, you can find them wherever podcasts are found. You don't have to stick to one app. We like Spotify, but Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, iHeartRadio. Yeah, we're even on iHeartRadio. So, whatever you prefer, you can always switch to your favorite app. There's no particular one. Just
I think we're still in competition with the Ron Burgundy podcast on iHeartRadio. So, come on, guys.
Yeah, we got to bring those numbers up. Ron Burgundy's going down. He's not nearly as cool as we are.
And we drink more whiskey.
Yeah, we do. Well, thanks to you, we do now. I think we're going to do a quick musical break. Oh, wait a minute. You know what, Ryan? We didn't ask you what you're drinking over there in Vancouver.
What the hell's going on?
Why are you still in your office? Why aren't you here?
You can't hear us again.
The girls weren't feeling well, so it just
one of those
made
things.
More sense for me to hang out tonight.
There we go.
Unfortunately, so.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Wow, you're killing me.
Sorry. Yeah, we can hear you, definitely. So we're going to go to a quick break. I'm going to see if I can fix that audio glitch you got going on there, and then we'll be talking about mashing barriers right after some music pairing from our Spotify playlist, Brew Happy Tunes, created by our very own DJ Fitzmagic over here. That's Ryan, in case you haven't been catching on during the show, for you listeners. And, this is going to be, what do we got here today? We're going to do You Can't Hold No Groove by Victor Wooten. Yeah, the man who slaps the bass.
The Wooten.
Yeah, I love this man. All right, cheers.
Ladies love Brew Happy. How about you?
Hi, Hi, this is the Green Goddess of Portland, here to bring interior wilding to your space. Offering local consultations, weekly plant care, pest solutions, rare plant curation and sales, this houseplant hobby has cultivated a worthy collection backed by knowledge and experience. And now I want to help you make your business beautiful. Contact Bronwyn, the Green Goddess, at greengoddessbotanic@gmail.com and Green Goddess Botanic on Instagram.
Jen.
Jeremy. Brew Happy. Obviously, you probably recognize the hit Everyday People by Sly and the Family Stone. So we like to do these little music pairings on the show. If you like beer, you probably like music. Who doesn't like music? And we do a lot of intense research, drinking beer and listening to music, to figure out which beers go well with which music. And Ryan has worked very hard to curate a list, perfect list of drinking tunes.
Yeah, I just went through and updated it a little bit, took down some songs, going to be adding some more songs in tonight. So if you guys go check it out later this week, there'll be some new hits on there.
Yeah, we got like, what, about 100 hits on the...
The top 100 most recently played songs on the show. Mm-hmm. So if I'm not on the show, it's tough to have songs, so I try to just update it. So you guys just have some new things in your earbuds.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. And in that sense, you're with us in spirit.
Yeah. By the way, I think you asked me before the break and the audio was poor. You asked me what I was drinking in Vancouver.
Yeah.
And I am drinking the 1811 pre-prohibition style lager from Fort George.
Oh, right on. Yeah, that's a great one.
It's a great one.
It's sessionable.
I just felt like something it's really light.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though it's stout month, I thought, you know, yeah, I'm going to...
But you're handling the kid, and it's late at night, so I get it. You don't want to...
Yeah, but it's delicious.
Be stumbling around with the baby during bedtime.
Nothing like tripping over a small human and busting my face open or something.
Yeah, the wife would frown on that. Right on. Let's start with Maddie. Now you are awesome, Maddie, because every time you're on the show, what?
Don't scare her.
No, you're not scared, are you?
I'm always scared.
Oh, don't be scared. Every time you've been on the show, you're with a different brewery, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, because you are in such high demand and you are such an amazing and creative brewer. And now you are with Von Ebert.
Yes. Thank you.
Well, you're fantastic. We love you.
Yes, I am with Bonnie Burt, and I've been there for a little over a year and a half now.
Mm-hmm.
And can I curse on this show?
Yeah. We're not FCC regulated, so you can drop F bombs if you want. That's why I have us under explicit lyrics. We're an adult show, 21 and up.
Whenever anybody asks how it's going, I'm always like, it's a fucking dream. Like every day, I love going to work.
That's a great description.
We've got such an amazing team that Sam has like handpicked, and I feel like we're just continuously pushing each other to learn and grow, and I just really think that we're going places, and I'm excited about it.
The proof's in the pudding. Von Ebert makes some fantastic and amazing beers. The Glendovere location has been a fantastic addition and you guys are always adding more beers to your ever-expanding catalog, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The lager repertoire that Von Ebert has is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, we've been paying attention.
Well, thank you, because I work at Glen de Vere most of the time, so I'm making those crispy boys.
Yeah!
So.
And of course, that volatile substance absolutely delicious.
Yeah, we'll prost to that.
Prost to all the Vonnie beers. How's it been, Maddie, for the last couple of years? Because we've been watching your exploration into beer. Mm-hmm. You know, we've seen your She Brew beers, a few years ago with the Golden Glitter beer. And that was with Sasquatch. And then you go to Migration, and now you're at Von Ebert. And I mean, it's just, I think it's just beautiful stepping stones for different styles of beer. How's it been for you the last few years?
Well, isn't that the Gold Dust Woman?
Correct.
Yeah, I remember that beer. It was I was very surprised by that beer. It tasted delicious.
Well, thank you.
I went back for a second.
It was polarizing, to say the least.
Yeah.
But I mainly cared that it tasted good. Glitter was a bonus.
Yeah.
But.
And it was the edible kind. It wasn't the kind that
No, that you get at the craft store. Absolutely not.
Right. Yeah, just to make that clear. For those skeptical of the glitter beers or may not have heard of them yet, that was a thing.
Yeah, for like a hot second. And now, you know, they're few and far between. But you see them every so often.
Every so often. So. Why not? They're fun.
Yeah.
They're fun.
it's been great. I'm just constantly in awe of my coworkers and just love bouncing ideas off of them and learning. Like, that's like Sam pushes really hard for exterior learning, like anything that he can do to help us continue to learn and grow as a company and as like just people, as just individual brewers. So Belgian styles are near and dear to my heart. Saisons forever. Believe in Saison, everyone.
Oh yeah.
Yes. And you know, I feel fortunate enough to where we are making a few and they're doing pretty all right. We just did a can conditioned one with my husband at Breakside. And it's got all New World hops in it. So it's got some like Nectaron and Azaka and Sultana in it.
Mm.
Yeah.
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 All right.
It's kind of tropical, but then you get like the peppery notes from the Saison yeast. And then it's can conditioned. So the carbonation's like 3-2. So when you crack it open, it's like about to jump out,
okay,
but
I'm gonna go
jump
get
out
one.
At you. Yeah. Well, it's called Islands in the Stream.
I think he's convinced. Yeah, you talked him into it.
I need one right now.
Yeah. He looks so thirsty. Poor guy.
I'm going to go get another beer like right now.
So. well, while you're doing that, let's catch up with Casey real quick. Casey, how's it going over there at Imperial Yeast?
It's good. Yeah, we've grown a lot since the last time I was on the show.
Yeah.
That was a few years back.
I bet, yeah.
Yeah, things are great. We expanded to Philadelphia last year, actually 2020. Right at the end of 2020, we opened our doors out in Philadelphia, and that's a second production location.
That is amazing. So is that like as far east as you guys are now?
So we distribute worldwide.
Oh my God. Yeah.
But the big crux for us, the shipping cost is just through the roof for our customers.
I bet.
You know, it's a live liquid culture and we're shipping from Portland, Oregon to, you know, the south of Florida or all the way to the north of Maine or, you know, anywhere in between. And sometimes the yeast and the shipping would cost the same. And the only complaint we ever heard from customers was that shipping cost is too high.
Yeah.
You're shipping something that weighs 40 to 60 pounds overnight.
And it has gone up the last couple of years.
Oh, absolutely.
It's astronomical
with
now.
COVID, you know, there's just all of the surcharges.
Yeah.
You're like, a surcharge for what? And then FedEx, you know, you read these stories in the news where like drivers are just like, you know, I'm going to stop at this ravine and I'm going to kick all these packages out into the ravine and leave.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
It's like, so we got a like rogue driver surcharge now?
Yeah,
or what?
Yeah, I think I'm going to stick with good old-fashioned USPS. I tried to send a tap handle to a Patreon member in Scotland, and they told me it was going to be over $80. I was like, what? It's just a little, but it's a little tiny box.
Yeah.
DHL.
Yeah.
DHL.
Yeah.
That's the secret.
That's how
we
ship
UK.
Most international stuff.
Yes. All right. DHL for international.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, But yeah, so we scouted the East Coast for a long time. Ended up picking a location in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
Went through a bunch of red tape with the city. We were in like a 100-year floodplain, yada yada.
Ugh.
And then like 2 weeks before COVID hit, we finally got approval to start construction. And then COVID happened.
Oh, man.
And so it was just like one thing after another. But we finally opened our doors out there December 2020. And it's been great. So
yeah. All right.
Yeah. It's good. All good things.
Another prost for Imperial Yeast.
Thank you.
Did I miss the part where, for the gender reveal?
I don't think it's happening.
We don't believe
quite
in
yet.
Burning the forest down.
I'm a boy. It's been revealed. There we go. It just came out.
There we go.
Casey, I'm.
He's never talking
your first,
about me.
Is this your first child? I can't remember.
It'll be
I'm
my
so sorry.
Second.
It's her second.
Nice.
Second.
All right.
Does Sonia remember when I came on and talked about my baby girl?
I absolutely remember it. It was the best.
Yeah. He does
think,
like to gush
and
about her.
And now she's like walking massive small human that I only see through the interwebs because of COVID.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's amazing, by
she's
the way.
She's
going to
start running
death.
Around getting into trouble.
How old's your daughter?
Oh, my God. She will be
one and a half
two
now.
In like 10 days.
Oh
two
my God.
2 in 10 days?
Wow. That's
great.
That fast.
I mean, I feel like there's a potential love match.
Yeah. My son is going to be two at the end of March.
I think we're going to start a daycare here at Leica Brewing.
Well, we do allow minors.
It's a family place.
Till 8.
There you go. Right on. And Sonia,
yeah,
what's...
She will be... She's... It's cool.
Yeah. Well, we'll get her some friends. Don't worry. Sonia, what's going on here at Leica?
Yeah, well, we just finished a pretty significant expansion,
the
which
place
was,
looks amazing.
Man, again, COVID, we applied for our permits the first week in March, and then the city shut down. So it's been a journey.
Mm-hmm.
We have been able to quadruple our production size, which is super exciting. And put in an outdoor patio with fire pits. We now have a private event space in the back. And we reopened our doors this last summer. We stayed closed longer than maybe some of the other folks in town, partially because we do, you know, we had to take care of our kiddos and we have three kids and it really has just been Theo and I up until this summer. And we have recently hired two employees, which is really exciting as a small business to have a couple folks in here supporting us. So, now there are four of us.
Nice. Yeah. Well, we are here to talk about mashing barriers. So who would like to go first?
So I am happy to start the conversation. So in 2019, I believe, I was elected to the board of OBG.
Mm-hmm.
And as part of that process, really, we as a board made a commitment to launch our DEI initiative, our diversity, equity, and inclusion, to really provide education and support for our members around how do we create breweries that are open and inclusive for everyone, and how do we break down barriers of accessibility for beer. And that might seem like a weird thing, but the industry, as we know, has been primarily dominated by white men over time. And I think there's been a lot of initiatives, particularly in the last 5 years, that have really pushed to try to diversify who is not only making beer, but drinking beer. And that's something that's really important to us here in Oregon, to make sure that we are doing better. And so we started off as a committee looking at a code of conduct. So that was our first big project, was implementing a code of conduct for our brewery members and for folks that are attending any events that are put on by the guild. So that really, you know, to be short about what the code of conduct is, it's don't be an asshole. Really, it's also letting people know that if they're...
That shouldn't be too hard.
It shouldn't be too hard, but you'd be you surprised.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised.
There's always somebody that finds a way.
Yeah. So yeah. We've set up a way for folks to let us know if there's been a violation of the code of conduct so that we can support not a punishment, but an education for that brewery or that employee at a brewery. We're not an HR firm. That's not what we're trying to do, but we're trying to come in and help change the culture of how places work. And we have just had an amazing response from our membership and from the community. So that was our first initiative as a committee. And our second one that really has taken a little bit of time to fully develop is the Mashing Barriers program, which Casey and Maddie have really spearheaded. Casey is also a member of the Guild board. It's really exciting to have two women on the board.
Yeah.
I think this may be historic. So it's been fantastic.
Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about how you're involved, Casey.
Yeah. So just to kind of echo what Sonia Marie said, the brewing industry, I think if we are to survive long term, we must learn how to make it a more inclusive space, not only in the brewery, in, you know, employee makeup, but also in who drinks beer, like Sonia Marie said. And so this is just a really exciting internship program that we've developed. I think we're the first guild in the nation to have developed an internship program and launch it. So super exciting. I think the OBG, the Oregon Brewers Guild, has kind of been a leader for other guilds around the country for a long time, and it's really nice to be able to continue that and just contribute to such a cool cause. And so the Mashing Barriers program, it's a fully paid 12-week internship, and the goal will be to host these quarterly. And so currently we just have the one internship for 2022 on the books, which is going to be hosted at Von Ebert Brewing. And really just a full-on crash course in brewing, kind of grain to glass type of education for this person. And really the ability to just get a foot in the door. You know, we're not looking for any specific type of person that will end up receiving this internship, but somebody that's passionate about beer and that has experienced trouble, you know, getting into the industry for whatever reason. And they'll be trained at Von Ebert kind of from start to finish, on the brewery side, on the cellar side. Maddie will go into this. They'll also have the chance to shadow front of house and sales and marketing, and really get the full kind of immersive experience. The guild is lucky enough. I think we live in just like the most amazing place for beer. You know, we've got Great Western, we've got Crosby hops, we've got Imperial yeast. I mean, we've got the ingredients to make beer.
All brands we love.
Really,
and know.
Like within a couple hours of us here in Portland. And so the intern will also have the opportunity to go visit Crosby for a day, learn about hop growing and hop harvesting and the process that takes, you know, what you see on the hop vines to what you put in your beer. They'll go up to Great Western and learn about the malting process. And they'll spend a day at Imperial Yeast, learning about the yeast side of things.
So, wow.
Yeah. We're just really excited to be able to, have like such a wonderful host brewery begin this partnership with us, and looking forward to learning a lot. Hopefully our internship recipient will be able to really help guide what the next internships look like.
That's awesome. How many interns is it one a year?
So the goal will be to host them quarterly. So they'll eventually be four a year.
Oh my God. Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's super easy to apply, right on the OBG website. Mm-hmm. There's also a donate button if you feel so inclined to help support this internship.
Yeah.
A fully paid internship where, you know, we're looking at a livable wage for this person at $20 an hour. And
And so that obviously does not come cheaply. But no. we do believe that, you know, in order to promote a healthy brewery economy, you gotta be able to pay people.
Yeah.
To live and work in this beautiful city.
Oh yeah.
Portland's not cheap.
Yeah. Yeah. There's it's the cost of living's only going up
only
further.
Going up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. My fiance Bronwyn, she works at the Marriott Hotel. They have at least 3 employees that are working there full time and are living out of their cars and have a gym membership just so they can shower and do laundry.
Yeah, that's sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I think when we talk about equity, that's also part of what we're trying to model for our breweries, we really want folks to be providing living wages, things like healthcare, proper safety equipment. These are things that help level the playing field if everyone is having access to those things. And it's really important that we model that, especially as the guild, because that's our expectation of where our industry needs to be.
Yeah.
So it's not... a lot of folks who are in the brewing industry are supported by partners who make more money or are living in shared housing with folks, or, you know, really also like going to wine country and working during harvest to make ends meet. I mean, mm-hmm. This is not something that is, it's something that's important for our industry.
Yeah.
Like a head brewer should be able to live on their salary. And there are plenty of folks who are in brewing positions here in the area that have to take on additional work in order to make ends meet.
Yeah.
And that's,
we know many of them.
That's not okay.
Yeah.
It's just not okay.
Well, it sounds like you guys are trying really hard to check all the boxes and make sure that, you know, all the needs are met, and a really well-rounded education. That's amazing. They get to go to Crosby and Western and Imperial. That's so cool that all of these companies have come together and gotten involved. Maddie?
I think a good relationship with your raw material suppliers is like key, because mm-hmm. you know, Casey knows I reach out to her all the time about questions for yeast, and I feel very comfortable doing that. And I feel like they have that wealth of knowledge that maybe I don't have, because I'm, you know, usually in the brewery, and it's great to share that information. And that's kind of what this whole internship is about, is sharing your information with people who may not have access or think that they can get into this industry. And we're just trying to make sure that, like everyone said, it's beer's for everyone, and we want to make sure that if someone's interested in it, mm-hmm. like regardless of what they look like or this, that, and the other, like we can be here to make those dreams come true.
Yeah, we want to make sure they're not too intimidated to knock on the door.
Sure, yeah.
What kind, tell me a little bit about what a person can experience learning at Von Ebert.
So it'll probably be fast-paced and crowded, because uh-huh. it'll be at the Pearl location, and... Eric, our lead brewer there, who's fantastic, goofy, loves candy, loves snacks, all of the things. he's going to be the person training this intern for most of the brewery side of things. Uh-huh. And then they'll learn a little bit about proper bartending practices, you know, glassware, mm-hmm. pouring methods. Even just down to like style differences and how to just present a beer to a person who maybe comes into a brewery and they're like, you know, I only drink Coors Light and I don't really want to tell anyone that. So I'm just going to like piggyback off whatever my friend just got. And I actually hate it. So I don't know, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, like learning a little bit more about styles and being like, oh, like I really like, you know, malt forward beers. Maybe I could, you know, delve into that a little bit more.
Yeah.
And then we're going to do a bunch of sensory stuff as well, off flavors. I think it's very important for brewers to be fairly comfortable with, like, learning different off flavors. And sensory is also just, like, going through and trying your beers at different times throughout the beer's lifespan, whether it be it's, you know, still fermenting or it's in a bright tank or it's been in package for 3 weeks or something, you know, just to see how a beer evolves and what's its ideal time in life.
Absolutely. So they're going to get like a pretty much a farm to table experience, it sounds like.
Absolutely. And we plan on getting them forklift certified as well.
Yes. Yeah, so. I'm not even forklift certified. I've worked on a forklift for well over a decade, but it's never been a place that had more than 20 people. So
right.
Nobody
so
ever
it doesn't
bothers.
Matter. Yeah. we take safety like pretty seriously at Von Eber.
It's
important. A safety manager, so he'll go through and talk about all of the chemicals and the fact that we work with steam and heavy kegs and proper lifting techniques and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But forklift safety, I think, is something that can kind of just be washed over.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, hop on it and go, but like...
And it's really easy to stick your hand in the wrong spot.
Or not be paying attention and... really mess something up.
Mm-hmm. And I've even seen people that they clearly don't know how to change the propane tank in the back,
which is dangerous. That's a gas, right?
That's pretty dangerous. But you really got to make sure that thing's on there. You got to give it a good crank.
Absolutely, and make sure it's not leaking.
Yeah, and they'll fool you sometimes if you don't have it lined up right.
Right, exactly. I had to do that today, and I was like, "Are you kidding me? I'm still screwing this on."
Yeah,
come on.
Yeah, it's a pain in the butt.
But we want to get them forklift certified because that's usually something that when you go in to apply for a brewery, they're kind of looking for, and that gives you that little, leg up to someone, be like, okay, well, this person like knows the ins and outs. We don't have to, you know, not so much waste time explaining it to
them, but
have already gone through the process and figured it out.
It gives them more confidence in you as a hire.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I think that's the only big equipment that we have that they would be able to learn on. But I'm sure at other breweries, whenever they host, you know, some breweries have scissor lifts, some breweries have other fancy schmancy equipment that they can learn how to operate.
Yeah.
So we have a skateboard.
Some breweries.
It's a longboard from Theo's youth.
you gotta get creative sometimes. And that's all right.
Yeah.
Improvisation.
Whatever works.
Nice.
Yeah, and going over something as easy as like pump maintenance. Like I didn't know how to break apart a pump and like figure out, was the wiring bad? Like, do I need to?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just going over basics like that, that maybe you're not really getting, I've been in this industry for almost 5 years and this is the first time that I've sat down and been like, okay.
Yeah.
You got to problem solve this, figure it out.
Yeah. I've done keg washing and CIPs, but I've never had to break apart a pump.
Yeah. And you know, that's something you can put on your resume and be like, you know, I'm comfortable with this. So, and that's kind of what we're going for. Just like giving them those little tiny nuggets of knowledge.
Attributes. Accolades.
Sure. Yes.
Accolades.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we're also very fortunate that we're going to have safety boots provided for them through Next Adventure. Thank you.
On. I love Next Adventure.
Yeah. They're going to.
Let's do a post for those guys.
Yeah, for sure. So they're going to donate a pair of boots to whoever gets the scholarship every quarter. That way it's the right size.
That's great.
Yeah.
Because a lot of breweries, they're like, oh, well, we got these boots over here that have been sitting in the corner for like 5 years.
Right.
See if they fit.
Last brewer had athlete's foot. You're going to figure it out.
Don't worry. Don't mind the cobwebs. There probably isn't any spiders living in that boot anymore.
Well, and like good boots are $200.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
true.
It's an investment.
Yeah. I still have mine. I keep them in pretty good condition. They're steel toes.
Nice.
And
yeah.
They're pretty robust.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like an amazing program. I have to ask, how did this come together?
Here... in the guild or?
Yeah. Well, where did the idea come from?
Well, we did a number of kind of polls in our guild about what would you want the DEI committee to focus on? And education was really high up there as something to provide both for our existing members, but also to have folks from outside of our official members have access to. And so we really started to look at what are the ways that we can hit our goals as a committee. Mm-hmm. We have some pretty specific goals around diversifying the beer industry. And then what is our community asking for? And education was top of the list.
Yeah.
And I'll say that, you know, Maddie talked a lot about the sort of brewing part of the internship, and Casey touched a little bit on the raw materials. And part of why we want to make sure also that they have a diverse experience is because, you know, production is not for everyone. And so we want to make sure also that folks know that if you think you want to be a brewer, great. But if you think you want to do marketing and sales, mm-hmm. like that's also a valid career in yeah. the beer industry. And in fact, we want you to come and learn about all of it so you can make a decision about where you might fit and where your passion lies. So education was key. We also have seen, and in talking to other folks, including the Michael Jackson Foundation and Scholarship that focuses on BIPOC accessibility and scholarships as well, that mentorship is really key mm-hmm. to folks staying in the industry. And I've yeah. seen that myself personally. There's no way that, you know, I think we've spoken about it before on the show, Pink Boots and the mm-hmm. community of women that have been a part of my growth in the industry and have mentored me through different parts. And so I think that's a really big key component of this is that mentorship piece and wanting to make sure that whoever is coming in knows that they have multiple people in the community that can introduce them to folks, mm-hmm. can vouch for them, can open doors. That's really a key part of this too. So, but yeah, it came about really from our members saying we want education. And then we have an awesome, awesome group that's really been working hard on this and on our other initiatives too.
Yeah.
It's incredible. And again, across the industry, we've got folks from the hop world. We've got folks from, we have brewers, we have marketing people, we have, you know, all sorts of folks. So we gather every other month and we work through it. We have small committees that attack different projects. And yeah, we've got some other ideas up our sleeves.
Yeah.
If anyone does translating, we'd like to translate guild materials into Spanish and Russian, which are the two most widely spoken languages here in Oregon. So language accessibility is something that we've also been talking about.
Okay.
We've also talked about bringing in some disability advocates to sort of help our physical tap rooms take a look at like going above and beyond just the ADA. What mm-hmm. else can you do to create a space for folks? So really diverse ways of approaching diversity.
Yeah. Yeah. Right on. That's awesome. Well, we'll do a prost to that for sure. Yeah.
And I think one of the beautiful things about what you were saying is, you know, in so many ways of being able to create this new kind of influence and community is then you get to do a little bit more and experience more with starting from a very base level of brewing into being able to create a person who is now doing what you guys do and going out and creating new like She Brew, doing new brew competitions, building new breweries, building up new avenues for learning and expansion of equality. And I think that you guys doing this is when we go down and look 10 years from now, you're going to see something that I don't think we ever thought would be as big or as important as what you are doing now. You know, I think it's really special. I would just want to applaud you on that. But because it's new and I think it's important.
Yeah, I agree.
Pros to that too.
Yeah, pros to that too.
Thank you. That means a lot to us. We're really excited about this and hopefully it's as big as you just laid it out to be.
Yeah. I look forward to you know, a world where my daughter can feel comfortable stepping into a brewery and giving a go at it if she wanted to And Ryan, when your daughter gets older as well, so
and that, I just
I think
really
you guys are doing wonderful stuff for the future.
I really want to just shout out the board of the guild and our executive director, Christina LaRue, who has also just worked so hard. I mean, we're here now speaking about this, but the board has been 100% behind us and has dedicated resources of time and energy, and there's really a desire across the board to shift culture. And so it's not just us, and I want to thank them for all that they've done too.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Absolutely. We're three white women right here, but it's not just because of us. The whole board has been behind us the whole time.
Yeah.
I also wanted to point out that this intern will also kind of be mentoring the future interns.
Oh.
We're trying to set up some sort of like alumni.
Like a legacy program?
Kind of, where, you know, they can like bounce questions off each other and network through each other. You know, it's just they're all, it's kind of like Pink Boots in a way. They all have a similar experience. Mm-hmm. And it's just a great way to also build community and then create leadership roles within these new roles that we're trying to create.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think teaching the stuff that you just learned mm-hmm. to the next person that comes after you is the chief way, at least in my personal experience, that I've come to know, cementing that knowledge, all that information that you just took in. When you share it with someone else, you're reassimilating that knowledge yourself, and it's really great because the person that you're teaching, they may ask those provoking questions that you might not have asked yourself, and you might know the answer because of your through your studies, or you might be like, well, damn, you know what, I never thought of that before. Let's ask the guy that taught me, and you go up the chain, and it creates a conversation, and that's how teaching happens. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's all about how my dad used to say before I would go into tests. In the morning, he'd be like, you know, go slow and show what you know.
Uh-huh.
You got to just, you know, take it step by step and show that you understand the material. You might not like present it in the same way, but if you understand it, then it shows that that person is doing their job.
Yeah, it'll come through. Yeah, that's awesome.
I think to kind of just expand upon that and echo what something Sonia Marie said, just that ability to see yourself, hopefully, you know, the interns to come in the years to come, they'll be able to see themselves in those that came before them.
Yeah.
And not only are you learning and the people that came before using their knowledge and cementing that knowledge and passing that along, but also showing the new folks that they do have a place at the table.
Yeah.
And that their voices is heard and, that they belong here.
Yeah, yeah, and they do. That's fantastic. It's wonderful. What are some other things that you guys hope to gain out of this program, or what are some other things that you that the Oregon Brewers Guild is going to be working on in the future?
Yeah. So, I mean, personally, I'm excited to learn alongside this person. You know, as someone who has no formal brewing background and who has learned how to run a business as I go,
mm-hmm.
I'm really excited to be able to glean some of that knowledge too.
Yeah.
And as far as the guild, you know, our plan is to keep going, to keep pushing, to keep holding our members accountable for behavior that is not okay, to keep supporting folks who want to shift culture through education, through access to HR resources and connecting folks in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it is important to mention that the last couple of years, there's been a lot in the beer industry around sexual harassment and women being harassed, but not just women. This is something that happens across the board. And
I was going to ask about this. You mentioned, you know, situations. I'm interested to hear about what some of those situations are.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's been lots in the media. Mm-hmm. There's also been through social media as well. There's a really cool project called Brave Noise,
mm-hmm.
Which is a collaboration beer that was started by an amazing brewer. And she really elevated people's stories through her Instagram.
That's fantastic.
And she really gave folks an anonymous platform to share what was going on behind the scenes. And it happened very organically, where she just posted like, hey, like, tell me what's happened to you, because I had this really shitty thing happen.
Yeah.
And we know that here, at least in Portland, it's been in the news in certain places. We know that there has been more visible incidents with certain companies.
We've talked about those. We generally try to stay happy, but I feel I've had to address some things on the show.
Yeah. And then there's all the stuff that's not
we've
public.
Definitely covered it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's again about that culture shift across the board. And although women have started speaking up more, mostly white women, we also know that we're opening the door for other folks to be able to share.
Yeah.
I think we have gotten to a point, at least in Portland, where because the community is what it is, that the three of us as white women in the industry, I'm not going to speak for the other two ladies at the table, but I certainly feel comfortable speaking out, and I feel like I have really solid allies that also have power, and I feel like I have power. I also know that I'm an owner in a brewery, and that a server might feel very different in my space if something was happening. So I think that's just kind of where we're going. We're going to continue to push, continue to listen, continue to respond to what we see, what we hear, and educate and grow, hopefully, this internship project. The goal is to rotate it across the state as well. So it's definitely not going to be only at a Portland brewery. You know, maybe it's going to go to Boneyard, or maybe it's going to go down to Ninkasi. Like, we don't know where it's going to go, but the hope is that the host breweries will also be learning along the way, and that can help change some of the culture. So it's a relationship.
I was just thinking that while you're saying, I'm like, wow, I mean,
it's a mutual benefit of a relationship, right? So companies also have to, when they're hosting, think about like, oh, do we have an employee handbook that addresses things? Like, how are we, you know, we're also asking our host breweries to be accountable in a certain way. And that's part of the process, right?
Yeah.
So
I think that's fantastic. Like I said, we've definitely addressed some of that stuff here on the show. We are listening, and we do believe you if you're out there. So where are some other are there some outreach? I guess what I'm trying to get at is if somebody who is not a part of the program is being confronted by an uncomfortable situation, who would they talk to right now? Is there a resource for that?
Yeah, so we have an online reporting tool through the Oregon Brewers Guild website, and it's a public facing tool, and so you can make anonymous or non-anonymous complaints, reports, etc. And the hope, you know, we've talked a lot about this as a guild and as a committee, is to hopefully be able to, not like Sonia Marie said, not be a punisher, but a resource for our members and even non-members, being able to connect people to HR resources and victims to victim resources. There's also online reporting tools through the Brewers Association. I believe Pink Boots has one. There's a lot of agencies and tools available for folks to report any instances of harassment or abuse or racism, sexism, ageism, whatever it is.
Any kind of discrimination.
Yeah, any sort of discrimination. And hopefully, you know, we'll be able to, as a whole, you know, beer community, make that obvious and make that available to people. I think that, you know, a lot of people stay silent because they don't know where to turn. They don't know who to talk to about this. How do I report this? Do I report this to my HR that's also my boss, that's also, you know, my my direct supervisor and the owner of my business because I'm
or they're best friends with the person that's harassing me.
Yeah, I'm working in a brew that's five people big, and we don't have a HR person and a handbook and a policy to address all of this stuff. So
that can be a tough spot to be in.
And we're not obviously not an HR consulting agency, but I think as a guild, we can be a resource to connect folks to those people that can help them out.
That's fantastic.
And I think I just wanted to say, like, I loved listening to Sonia Marie's, like, this is all about a learning thing, because I think that's really at the heart of what DEI work is about, right?
Yeah, I think we're all learning to change our culture and grow.
And every single one of us, and I think as a group we can hopefully do that.
Yeah, I love seeing the industry evolve. We've been doing this show this is our 10th season of this incarnation of the show. I've been doing it myself since 2009. It has come so far in leaps and bounds. And I would dare say it's doing a lot better than other industries that I've been a part of, which is why I continue to keep myself immersed in this one. So I love the work that you ladies are doing. I think it's important. I think it's valid. And I think it's fantastic. It's going to help evolve the way that our community includes people. Yeah,
And I think one of the other things, real quickly, is it's a beautiful point that it is. I don't know if it's necessarily glossed over, but even if it's a male-led brewery or establishment, you have one or two female servers or workers. I think the other thing is that having that education and having that empowerment and response to the patrons of those establishments, mm-hmm. because unfortunately, people have a drink and they
get stupid.
Potentially the worst versions of themselves.
Yeah,
right?
I've been a bartender for 20 years. I've seen it happen.
Right.
I've had to put the smack down on some moody poo.
And that's important, is just having the resources or having that information be out there to know that, that one customer is not going to break the overall sales of your business. It's okay to kick them out.
Yeah.
So I think that's important too, is just having that avenue of information so that everyone can do better.
Yeah, don't be afraid of those that one nickel going out the door, because those might not necessarily be nickels you need. We are going to take a quick music bit break, and we're going to come back with some information about She Brew real quick, because that is coming up. We did a show about it a couple of shows ago. If you
we're 1 month away.
Yeah, we're 1 month away, and we're really excited about it. So we're going to be listening to Supertramp, Bloody Well Right.
Can I get anyone more beer? I can text Andrew. Okay. Kombucha? Do you guys want anything else?
I'll do the otter again.
Okay.
Thank you. John?
I'll take a short pour of the otter.
Natalie Baldwin, and I'm with
Annie Avilas,
and we're at Breakside Brewing, and you're listening to the Brew Happy Show.
Hey there, I'm Squeaky Pete. Are you looking to get the word out about your beer-related business? Did you know that podcasts have been rising in popularity since they were first known as audio blogging in the 1980s? With podcasts catching hold in the late 2004s, There are more than 115,000 English-speaking podcasts available. Hundreds of them talk about beer, but only one will make you happy. Brew Happy. Advertise with us and get the word out about your business to more than 30,000 listeners. For more info, contact brewhappypdx@gmail.com. Woo-ha!
Hey, this is Sean from the Beer Mongers, and you're listening to the Brew Happy Show.
Just talking about mashing barriers with Sonia, Casey, and Matt from the Mashing Barriers program, sponsored by the Oregon Brewers Guild, Imperial Yeast, hosted by Von Ebert, and in collaboration with many other wonderful companies. So, fantastic program, changing the face of the brewing community.
Oh, that's right.
You get the big one.
And we got a new round of beers. Thank you for our wonderful bartender, Andrew. Let's do a prost to Andrew.
And we apparently she did it by text.
Aww,
and no one had to move.
Well,
I want to get into it before we run out of time because what?
Ryan, you wanted to talk about the SheBrew program.
You bet your butt out, dude.
We're excited about this. I'm excited about it. Are you going to be going?
Yes, I am. We're about a month away.
Yeah.
It's like and the first festival, right? First beer festival?
It's going to be my first beer festival in a while.
Yeah, it'll be the first one of the year, but the first one, I think, in like the last...
2 years.
2 years, really.
Wow, yeah.
Fresh Hop Fest was at the end of September?
Yeah.
Up at Glendevere.
Yeah.
That's right,
yeah.
Glendevere. They had that.
But it'll be the second... Okay.
And we do have Central Oregon Brew Fest as well this month. That's going to be happening in Bend. So that's right. It's a new event for the Guild. So we're excited about that.
When's that? February?
Ooh, you are. It's the first weekend in March.
Yes, it's the same weekend as SheBrew. I think actually.
Yes,
first weekend in
March.
So you can with the sea.
Good job, Casey.
Can't bring on the info without all the info.
Nothing wrong with that.
You know, we're only board members.
We are drinking on this.
But
show,
it is—it's super exciting for many of us. SheBrew was the last festival before shutdown, and we remember being together. And there's some beautiful pictures of all of us. And the other day, and the other day, one of them popped up. Somebody posted it, and I got a little teary-eyed because it's such a special community and such a special event.
Yeah,
and it's super. I'm super excited to be able to see everyone again.
I usually use when I do a SheBrew because we cover it every year. We've covered it every year that SheBrew has had a festival. But I'll usually use a photo either from the podcast or from the previous festival that I went to the year before to put on Instagram, and there wasn't a picture.
There wasn't one.
Yeah. And I was and we got into it at McPolander's so quickly I had forgotten to take any pictures, and then everybody kind of started departing after the show, and everybody was gone for like 20 minutes, and I was like, oh darn it, I didn't take any pictures. So I went to go look for some festival photos, and I'm like, gosh, these are from like 3 years ago. So I went with whatever I could find. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to this event.
So the thing about it is it's important that everyone knows is that the homebrew competition is the weekend before on February 27th.
Yes.
And then March 6th at Castaway here in Portland is the 7th annual, even though we skipped last year. But it's really important. There are 32 attending breweries and four brewers, because McMenamin's has three people, Widmer has two people, so there's multiple brewers from breweries, but there's 32 right now, and I'm so fucking excited.
Yeah.
There's going to be so many different beers. I know Maddie is going to be in there. I know Sonya's going to be in
there. Yeah.
Really looking forward to it.
Casey's going to be in there, too. She's brewing beer with God. Me.
Oh, watch out. Yeah. Well, hey, let's do a prost to that.
Casey's I'm so sorry, Casey. I didn't even
all
know
good
that.
I'm not a brewer, it's all good.
I think so. This festival is always the best in as far as creativity and originality, because I think people really give themselves permission to try interesting and new things, like we talked about Gold Dust Woman and Glitter Beer. I know that Lee has a comeback beer that's coming.
Oh, yeah. Welcome. Yeah, we've heard that she's doing Welcome Back to Oz.
Oh. Yep.
She spilled the beans then.
Yeah, she did.
She did. She told me.
She told
me. Yeah, and of course, she didn't say that I wasn't supposed to say anything, but, I mean, what? Not that many people
listen
to the podcast, right, listeners?
The show with Mick Polander, so...
Yeah.
Lee's my favorite.
Yeah, we might have gotten a little sauced up, so I don't actually remember if Sean was supposed to say it or not.
No, I think it's cool. Yeah. I think it's cool. If not, I'll take the heat for it.
Hey, it gives people something to look forward to. It's just one more.
She's a badass. She's got nothing to hide.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
No.
She's 100% a badass. Every year, she's like, this is going to be my last She Brew. And I'm this year.
Yeah, right.
This year, I was texting her, and I was like, surely, like with the Sure Jan gift.
You love
like
this.
We'll see you next year.
Yeah.
Well, and even though now she's over at Freeland, like she also helped coordinate a brew with Steeplejack using some of the Freeland botanicals.
That's right.
So,
she
is such an incredible connector.
We talked about it.
And that's how the community is. This community of She Brew folks is just collaborative, fun, trying new things. It's really fantastic. For me, I love it. Yeah. I feel like it's one of the best festivals as far as building community. It's great.
I agree.
Well, and obviously it supports the Human Rights Campaign, which is absolutely an amazing support avenue. And if you don't know, please go look it up. But go to the website is shebrew.beer. And there you can get tickets. It's super easy. You don't even have to worry about anything. Get your money in now. Don't wait. I think it's $25 now, $30 at the door. Oh, my God. Just go.
Yeah. Why not? Listen to us.
And it's at Castaway. Shout out to Castaway.
Hey.
Boom.
I used to work for the company that owned them before I was in beer. So whenever they host something, I'm always like, hey.
I know you guys.
Right on.
And if you get the VIP tickets, the doors open at 11 for you, and general admission opens at noon. The event is till 7 p.m.
Gotcha.
I'm looking really forward to trying the homebrew competition beers, which they're going to be in limited supply. So if you get the VIP tickets, you get to try them first and as many as you can. So get in there, go.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
Can we ask what you guys are brewing, or is it a secret?
Oh yeah, yeah.
So we here at Like'em, we have an amazing new food cart that has come onto our property, and they are Salvadorian. And so we are making a beer with some tamarind mango flavors, bringing in a little of the Salvadorian influence. And
tamarind is my favorite flavor of Jarritos.
Yeah. So in fact, what's super cool is that She Brew has been in touch with the food cart, and they are going to be selling their pupusas at the event.
Pupusas.
So it will be like an actual pairing situation where you will get to have your pupusas.
Okay.
And then tamarind beer.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
I know. It's kind of cheesy and credible.
But all right. Maybe I don't know what a pupusa is, because I thought a pupusa was something that you carry a baby in front of you.
That's a papoose.
Papoose.
Yeah,
okay. Okay, I was
Jesus,
close though.
Man.
I mean,
all right, I'm not an idiot.
They both are like pockets.
Yeah, it's a pocket.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a pocket.
It means pocket. Not babies.
Okay. Pupusas are incredible.
I was confused for a minute.
They're kind of like a cross between a quesadilla and a tamale is kind of the best way to describe them.
All right.
And they have amazing, delicious flavors. So
I love those.
That So you can grab a pairing of our beer with a pupusa.
Yeah, all right. We love pairings on this show. It's the best. Right on.
And Maddie, are you allowed to say?
Yeah, absolutely. So we just hired our newest brewery hire a couple months ago. Her name is Becca, and she's a small, tiny baby. She's 23. And she's so excited. She came from Walla Walla, and she's so excited to be a part of the Portland beer industry. And
I love their onions.
Yeah, right? So I tasked her. I was like, all right, I've done She Brew like 4 times. Let's you figure it out. And yeah. She was like, well, I want to do a light farmhouse ale. I was like, done.
Period.
Easy.
Let's go.
Yeah. And we were playing around with, you know, like different botanicals. So I had reached out to Lee, and Lee was like, well, we're doing a beer with Steeplejack. And I was like, oh, fuck. Ah, okay.
Everybody wants to do a beer with those guys. They're good.
Right. So I was like, okay, well, let's break it down a little bit more. What do you like about gin botanicals that we could maybe mimic in a beer? And she took that very seriously. It took her like a week to like get back. And she was like, okay, so I tried all these gins and I like these specific things.
So I was drunk for 3 days.
Wow.
We're going to do a very light farmhouse ale, like low ABV wise. And we're going to use orange blossom. And then we're going to use yeast from Imperial. The Imperial ladies are going to come down and brew with us.
Holla.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And hopefully get some nice phenolics out of that yeast to play with that, and I'm really excited about it.
Yeah,
phenolics, that's a big word for Elmo.
Busting out the vocabulary on the Brew Happy Show. We like to educate.
You know, here's what I will say is both of those beers that you guys described sound amazing, so different, but equally amazing. And I know because you guys have a high caliber for making great beer, they're going to be fantastic. So I'm looking forward to both of them.
Yeah, ditto. Anything else, guys?
So John? Yeah, go shebrew.beer.
Oh,
go
yeah.
Go get your tickets today.
Yeah, shebrew.beer, not shebrew.com. That's a different thing. But shebrew.beer, that's where you're going to get your tickets. And if you do the pre-sale, you get a cheaper deal. If you go the day of, hey, you're missing out, but you're still going to an awesome festival.
And there's still time to get into the homebrew competition if you're interested.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, 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 yeah. There's still time to make a beer.
Get in there.
All right. John, anything?
Nope, I'm good.
All right. Ryan, anything else?
You know, that was my news that I wanted for the week, and that's all been done.
Yeah. All right. Well, this has been the Brew Happy Show, and we've been talking about Mashing Barriers with Maddie from Von Ebert, Casey from Imperial Yeast, and Sonia Marie Lycum from Lycum Brewing. So I hope you guys enjoyed the show. Again, if you want to help support the show, check us out on patreon.com/brewhappy. And for as little as $5, you can help us pay the bar tab and also maybe get some new cables and SD cards, because those seem to be the things that we need the most right now. So maybe a new mic. All right. Beer fans, thank you so much for listening. And as always, I don't just like you. I love you. And I want to have a beer with you. Until next week, keep brewing, but brew happy. Cheers.
This production is brought to you by Brew Happy Media, the ultimate brewer's media resource. For more information, go to thebrewhappyshow.com and brewhappypodcast.com. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube at Brew Happy. For more cigar pairings, please check out our sponsor, paulcigars.net. Questions, concerns, advertising, or guest relations, please reach us at brewhappypdx@gmail.com. Remember, brew happy. Drink responsibly. Cheers.